Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. As we mentioned, it is the first of a long week of National Pollinator Week. Honeybees pollinate $15 billion worth of crops every year. Managed honeybees, very important. But as we mentioned, honeybees are just the stereotype of pollinators. There are a lot more pollinators out there. And like soil health, pollinator health has really risen to the top of the list of important things for farmers. And we're going to visit with North Dakota NRCS pollinator specialist, Sarah Hamilton Buxton. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Well, just way above average. You know, just no Father's Day hangover, just everything is good. So, hey, you are working out of the state office there, although you're not in the office right just yet. And some folks have gone back in. What's the protocol at the state NRCS office in Bismarck? Is everybody back yet?
That's a good question. People are slowly coming back. And just to be clear with my position, I'm actually a partner biologist with NRCS. So I'm actually employed by the Xerxes Society for Invertebrate Conservation, and I partner with NRCS here in Bismarck. So I sit in the state office, but I'm also employed by the Xerxes Society. So I'm
okay.
A little bit different.
Yeah, and that's good. And I was going to get to that in kind of a roundabout way, but you got there directly, so that's good. tell it, the Xerxes Society, spelled with two X's, right?
That's right. X-E-R, I'm sorry, one X, X-E-R-C-E-S.
Okay, and that's named after, what is that, a Greek god or something like that? Or what was that?
Good question. Yes, there is that historical significance as well, but we are actually named after the first butterfly that is known to go extinct in the U.S. due to human impacts. So that's the Xerxes blue butterfly.
Okay, great. Well, all right. So the Xerxes Society in North Dakota, are you looking for more members?
Yeah, that's always great. We are a member-supported organization.
Okie doke. And again, you work cooperatively with NRCS. What programs are available for farmers? Because, as I mentioned, pollinator health, pretty important, because one out of every three bites of food in the U.S. Depends on pollinators. Honeybees are just part of the picture. So what programs are available for farmers to help in the pollinator health?
Good question, Mick. Through NRCS, there is our EQIP program, which is Environmental Quality Incentive Program. And then there's also CSP, Conservation Stewardship Program. Those two are under NRCS's umbrella, and there are certainly a wide variety of conservation practices available under those programs, but pollinator conservation is one of the program niches that you can go in and say to a field office, hey, I'm interested in pollinator conservation on my land, and they would be able to help you with that. Also, FSA has a program, CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, that also supports pollinator conservation as well.
All right. Are these programs being utilized to their full extent?
Yes, certainly. The deadlines are always, deadlines for current applications, et cetera, is always kind of a moving target. It depends on many factors having to do with the farm bill and a variety of other things. But you are always able to go into a field office, no matter the time, and tell them that you're interested in pollinator conservation, and they could direct you to the right program. And then they would let you know, hey, this deadline is coming up months from now, or we just missed this deadline, but you could certainly be on the list to look at applications for the following year.
Okay, good. Are you happy with the efforts made by the agriculture industry for pollinator health, whether it's the neonicotinoid, the drift issue, the things they use in corn seed to keep the powder from floating around? Are you happy with what's going on out there?
That's a good question. I do think, as you mentioned at the opening here, that pollinator health and pollinator conservation is certainly becoming more and more of a big topic that's getting on our radar a lot. So I think that we've made a lot of great strides in the past few years, but certainly there's always room for improvement and ways that we can, improve our overarching goals. So Yeah, I think that it's something that continues to become on our radar, and we're learning more and more every day about pollinator conservation and what that can look like on the ground, even here in North Dakota. Again, this is something that's been a relatively new avenue for us to pursue, so we're certainly still learning a lot about the best ways to implement pollinator habitat, to reestablish some pollinator habitat out on the ground, and pollinator management in general.
Yeah. The monarch butterfly, of course, is kind of the poster child for all of that. The honeybee is probably the most prevalent. But, man, there's the bumblebee. Bumblebee is kind of one of my favorites. They just kind of bumble around, and they're busy as can be, and they're busy as a bee. they work real hard. But what are all the different pollinators that are important to you, Sarah?
Good question, and I agree. I like bumblebees, too. They're not aggressive, so it's fun to just sit back and watch them work because they really are focused on what they're doing, so they're not too worried about you hanging out with them. The pollinator groups, the invertebrate pollinator groups, are moths, butterflies, bees, beetles, flies, and I'm missing one other category that will come to me, but those are the main ones. There are a couple of mammal and bird pollinators. Hummingbirds come to mind, and then bats as mammal pollinators. So those are the groups of invertebrate or insect pollinators that we focus on, and certainly bees are the best wasp. There you go, Mick. There's the other category of invertebrate wasp, pollinators is wasps. Bees are certainly the most effective pollinators. They're really just built and designed to be really great at moving pollen from one plant to another. And so within that bee group, we have a lot of different bees that we sometimes forget about because, like you've mentioned, the honeybee really is our poster child, and we love our honey, so honeybees are a quick pollinator that we think of. But we have, in the state, we have sweat bees, mining bees, the bumblebees that you mentioned, cuckoo bees. There's all sorts of different bees that are native and occurring here in our state that we can help as well, in addition to the honeybee.
Yeah, as much as I love the bumblebee because they're non-threatening, I hate the wasps out there. They are not fun, especially towards the end of August. They get vicious.
They do. And so there's certain wasps, like yellow jackets or paper wasps, that obviously you want to take measures to control. But there's a lot of wasps out there that are so tiny, Mick, that we overlook them. But they do a lot of good work for us. They're parasitoid wasps, so they're actually out there doing a lot of pest control for our farmers that a lot of times we don't even think about because they're so small. It's really easy to forget some of the heavy lifting that they're doing for us. So not all wasps are these really terrible, mean, aggressive insects that we all want to avoid.
Yeah. Now, colony collapse disorder in the honeybee industry hasn't been in the news much of the last couple of years. Maybe it's because COVID has got all the headlines, but is colony collapse a concern for you at either the Xerxes Society or NRCS?
While Xerxes Society focuses more on native pollinators, certainly the honeybee industry is very relevant to our work as well. So yes, colony collapse is something that's always on our radar. The varroa mite might be something that comes up in headlines a little bit more these days. That's a mite of honeybees that we're learning more and more about. So yes, colony collapse is something that we're aware of, but it's not something that we work directly with, since honeybee keepers aren't someone that we, again, directly work with. We're certainly open to working with anyone, but honeybee keeping is kind of a world of its own that the North Dakota State Ag Department really, really focuses on and specializes with.
For sure. All right. But NRCS has EQIP, the CSP, the Ag Conservation Easement Program. And if producers are interested, how do they get a hold of the folks at NRCS?
Great question. You can always go to your local NRCS field office and ask about any programs that are available to support pollinator conservation. And they are also always welcome to contact me directly, located here in the Bismarck State Office, and I can either help you directly or I can certainly get you in connection with someone at the county level as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Sarah Hamilton Buxton, NRCS and the Xerxes Society in North Dakota. Appreciate it. Hey, have a good rest of the week and happy Pollinator Week.
Thanks, Mick. You too.
Alrighty, this is Farm Talk.